Well, good morning, church, as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday this morning and we remember the price that Jesus paid for us at Calvary and the victory that he had over sin and death when he was raised from the dead by the Father. Let's pray this morning as we study his word and understand more about the power of his resurrection. Lord, we thank you for sending your son. We thank you for the price that he paid. We thank you, Lord, because Jesus lives, we live. And Father, we just give you the glory and the honor and the praise that's due your wonderful name. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go with me this morning to Matthew chapter 5. The title of this message this morning is Our Time to Shine. Our Time to Shine. Matthew chapter 5. And I want to read from verse 14. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. King James Bible. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now it's interesting this because Jesus is saying to his disciples, you are the light of the world. Now we're going to have a look in a moment clearly in the scriptures where Jesus is described as the light of the world. But here, Jesus is calling them the light of the world. Now, I want you to think of that for a minute. Think of some of these disciples. Peter. Well, Peter was the one that denied him. Think of James and John. They were the two that said, Lord, shall we, you know, command fire to fall from heaven and consume these Samaritans? Think of Thomas, the doubter. And then think of Judas, the one who betrayed him. But God calls things that be not as though they were. God was looking forward to the day when these men, these disciples of his, would be light bearers for him. So when you talk about light here, it's talking about the brightness or the fire within. So the light's reflected in our words, our actions, our deeds, our behavior. And of course, that's the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So if we're light bearers for Jesus, it's going to be reflected in the fruit that comes out of our heart. So go with me now to John chapter 1. I said before that Jesus declared himself to be the light of the world. Well, let's have a look at this in Scripture. Now, John chapter 1, I want to read from verse 1. And it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. When Jesus came into the earth, he brought the light of God into the earth. But it says, you know, the light shined in darkness and the darkness didn't comprehend it. They didn't recognize the light bearer when he came to the earth. So keeping that in mind, go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 19. Again, the words of Jesus. And I want to read this from the New Living Translation, John chapter 3 and verse 19 from the New Living Translation. And it says this: "And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants." So move forward to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And reading from verse 12. The words of Jesus: "Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So it's pretty clear that Jesus brought light into this world. And when he spoke to the disciples back in Matthew chapter 5, he was declaring that they also would be light bearers for him. So the reason why this message today is entitled Our Time to Shine is because we have that light residing on the inside of us. And he wants our light to shine in the earth. Let your light so shine among men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Isn't it interesting? They will glorify your Father in heaven. Turn over to John chapter 9. John chapter 9 and verse 5. Again, the words of Jesus: "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And then he followed up with John chapter 12, just a few pages forward. John chapter 12, verse 35 and 36. Jesus said to them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not where he's going. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of the light." So if you were to study out Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8 and Thessalonians 5 verse 5, it declares that we're the children of the light. We're not the children of the world, because the children of the world are the children of darkness. And the darkness doesn't comprehend the light. But we are children of the light because, as it says in verse 36, we believe in the light, that we may be the children of the light. When we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, we believed in the light, and now we become light bearers for him. So, if Jesus was the light of the world, and he declared that he was, how did he reflect that light to the world? Well, let's think about it. Now, the Bible says that Jesus healed the sick. He healed the sick. You know, Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus healed all that came to him in faith. He never turned anyone away. The only times recorded in Scripture where a healing didn't occur was because of unbelief. It said he couldn't do any mighty works, not that he wouldn't, he couldn't because of unbelief. Jesus reflected the light of God's glory through healing the sick. Now, he raised the dead. There are three recorded times in Scripture where Jesus raised the dead. One was Jairus' daughter. Two was the widow's son at Nain. And three was Lazarus, who was raised out of the tomb. So Jesus raised the dead. He went before that tomb and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, who'd been dead 4 days, came out of that tomb. The light of the glory of God shone when he declared, Lazarus, come forth. The power went through and raised him from the dead. Now we know he cast out devils. Everywhere he went, he commanded devils to be gone. And there was a time where he went over to the other side of the lake into the area of the Gadarenes, and he met a devil that had been possessed with a legion of demons. In fact, he asked him, what is your name? And his response was, Legion, for we are many. And he commanded those demons to leave, and they entered the swine. Now, when Jesus went over to that area of the Gadarenes, there was a demonic stronghold over that region. But the light of God went with him and crushed that demonic influence. And that man from Gadara that was set free and in his right mind went on to be an evangelist in Decapolis. He went around telling the good things that Jesus had done for him. Yes, Jesus cast out devils with his word. Now he opened blind eyes and he helped the lame to walk. That was light in this earth. When blind Bartimaeus cried out to him on that road outside Jericho, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And then he said it again, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. It stopped Jesus in his tracks. The Son of the living God, the Word, stopped and said, bring him to me. And Jesus asked him a question, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, that I may see again. That man received his sight because of his faith in Jesus. What was Jesus doing? He was revealing the light of God in every action he performed. And of course, the lame to walk, when they lowered that man down in his own home, and he said, what's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to rise up and walk? And then he said, so that you may know that the Son of Man has power to forgive on earth, he said, take up your bed and walk. And instantly that man got up and he left. Jesus had the power to heal the sick, to open blind eyes, to cause a walk, the lame to walk, and the dead to be raised, and devils to be cast out. He did all those things. He calmed the seas by saying, peace be still. He fed the multitudes with simply 5 loaves and 2 fish. He declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He was declaring himself to be God. He desired mercy over sacrifice. He shunned religious hypocrisy and was a friend of the sinners. He obeyed his Father in everything. He came to do the will of the Father. In fact, in John 17, chapter 4, the New Living Translation, it said, Jesus brought glory to the Father by completing the work he was given. So Jesus was a light-bearer. Everywhere he went, he gave glory to God by shining the light in the earth. So how can we shine like Jesus? Thinking about today, Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection Sunday. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. Thinking about the resurrection of Jesus today, this verse of scripture has a lot more meaning to us. And it says this. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. See, we have the spirit of God now residing on the inside of us. Now, the reason why we have that is because the same power that raised Jesus from the pit of hell, brought him out of hell, raised him from the dead, it's the same power that's made us alive in spirit. So, with that in mind, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Paul wrote these words. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. See, the new birth was a complete recreation of the human spirit. The moment we made Jesus Christ Lord, we were filled with the breath of God. Now, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says that we were once dead in trespass and sins, but we've now been made alive. Or the King James says we've been quickened. That word quickened is to be made alive. So there was a time that we were dead in trespass and sins, but we are no longer dead in trespass and sins. We're alive in Christ because he was raised, we live. And that's the significance of this morning. As we understand what happened when Jesus was raised from the dead, he was the first begotten of many. He was the first raised from the dead. And we're the many that followed because we said yes to him. Jesus lives, we live. But we have to understand that this is not something that we earned or deserved. This was given to us as a gift, a free gift from God. Why? Because we believed in the one whom he has sent. And that was Jesus. Hallelujah. So, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to read this from the New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from the New Living Translation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want to read from verse 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. Now, don't miss that point there. I want to repeat that. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Now, before I read further, it's important to understand that to read chapter 4, you must read part of chapter 3 to get the context. Chapter 3, if you go back to verse 7, helps us to understand this glory of the new covenant. And then I want to return to chapter 4. So reading with me from 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7. And I want to read all the way through to verse 18 because I want the context of what Paul was explaining here when it said, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. That's what we need to understand this morning. So verse 7 of 3 says this. The old way, with laws etched in stone led to death. Though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face. For his face shone with the glory of God. Even though the brightness was already fading away, Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? So he's comparing the old with the new. If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? Verse 10. In fact, the first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. Now you think about what Paul's saying here. When Moses was in the presence of God, the glory of God shone on him. But Paul is writing here saying, but that first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new. So if the old way, which has been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever? I want you to understand we're part of this new covenant glory. See, in the old, the glory shone on his face outwardly. Today, the glory's within. It's part of the recreated human spirit. When we got born again, the glory of God resided on the inside of us. In fact, it was the glory of God that recreated our human spirits. Verse 12, since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel could not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so that they cannot understand the truth. Now, I want you to see the connection here. Go back to verse 3 of chapter 4. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Go back to verse 14 of chapter 3. See the connection. But the people's minds were hardened. And to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Now, this is so important. See, the good news is light to a dark world. That's why Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news. He said, preach the gospel. That's what we're meant to do. Tell people good news, because the only way the veil can be removed is by believing in Christ. And how can they believe unless they hear? Someone's got to preach for them to hear and believe and make a decision for him. The old covenant always covers the light of truth. That's why we don't preach the law. See, remember, the Bible says the law kills, the written law kills, but the Spirit gives life. In fact, the New Living Translation puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. He has enabled us to be ministers of this new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. So the old covenant covers the light of truth. It's why we have to preach the gospel of grace, the gospel of good news. We're no longer able to be made right with God through the letter of the law. In fact, we never could be made right with God through the old covenant law. It covered sin. It didn't remove sin. It didn't wipe sin. When Jesus died at Calvary's cross, he bore all sickness, all disease, all sin, all suffering, all guilt, all shame, all condemnation. He bore all the curse of the law, which include poverty and lack, everything. He bore that, and he took it with him to the pit of hell. And 3 days later, God raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the throne. because he's been raised from the dead, we have been raised and quickened or made alive on the inside. Now go to verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 3. We keep reading. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. I remember the day I turned to the Lord. And that religious veil that blinded my mind to truth fell in one day, at a moment of time, because I said yes to Jesus. Verse 17, for the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom or liberty. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of God. See, this is our time to shine. We're light bearers and we reflect the light of God. I want to say that again. All of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. And that's what brought us to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now we have a better understanding of why the God of this world blinds the minds of those who believe not. There's a veil. That veil is still there. It's still covering. It's still preventing them from understanding the truth. Now go with me to verse 5. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, this is very important. If you were to go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, you know, God declared, let there be light. And there was light. In other words, light be and light was. But that light wasn't the sun, or it wasn't the light of the moon, because that wasn't created until after. When he said light be, God released the glory in his words. And the glory of God shone. It created light. Now we have this light shining in our hearts. And that's what it says in verse 7. We have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. I want to say this morning. If you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, then you've got the light of his glory in your heart. Even though we have this earthen vessel, or as the New Living Translation says, this fragile clay jars containing this great treasure, the glory of God, the light of God is a great treasure. We have it. But you're going to have to believe that it's resident on the inside. Moses didn't have that when he was in the presence of God. The glory shone round about him, but the glory wasn't resident on the inside of Moses because Moses wasn't born again. That didn't occur till after Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And that's what we read before in Romans 8, chapter 11. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead has made us alive. So because of that power, we now have this glorious light shining in our hearts. And that's the light that we take into the world. That's why he wants the church to go into all the world to be light bearers. Let's go back to that, you know, that first scripture in Matthew chapter 5 and verse. Let your lights show shine among men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now we know that Jesus spoke that long before the disciples were born again. But he was calling things that be not as though they are. He wants our light to shine. and the world will give glory to our Father in heaven. How wonderful that is. This is our time to shine. The world's in darkness, people. The world that doesn't know Jesus Christ has no hope, and they're strangers from the covenants of promise. Without God, without hope in this world. But we as believers can go out in the world and we can shine light in darkness. And that light can draw people to him. I mean, you think about it. What drew people to this man Jesus when he walked on the earth? What drew people to this rabbi? This man that walked with 12 disciples, the one that challenged the religious elite, the one that challenged the very law of Moses, even though he fulfilled it. You know, the one that hung around with thieves and sinners and tax collectors and outcasts. What was it about this man that draw people? Why is it that multitudes came to him and kept him up all night? Because he spoke the word to them. He taught and he preached and he healed. What he was doing was releasing the light of the glory that was in him. Remember, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." He was anointed by the Spirit. Why? To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And of course, when Jesus spoke those words, he was speaking from Isaiah 61, verse 1. Those words were spoken prophetically by Isaiah the prophet long before Jesus ever spoke them. And he declared and he said, "Today this has been fulfilled in your presence." Today, Jesus was anointed. Well, can I say this? If you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you're also anointed. We have an anointed one on the inside of us. We've got the anointing on the inside of us. You know, we have an unction from the Holy Spirit. God has anointed us to go into all the world. We've been empowered by the Spirit of God to do the things that Jesus did. In fact, Jesus said, "Greater works than these shall you do because I'm going to my Father." He expects the church to do even greater works than him. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And I want to read it first from the King James Bible, and then we can have a look at it in the New Living Translation as well. So Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, King James. "For it is God which works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." This is our time to shine, people. This is our time, particularly now, to shine for Jesus Christ in a crooked and perverse world, a world that's been trying so hard for centuries to meet its own needs without God, but they're going to fail. They're going to fail. God is our source, and he always will be our source. I said before, and I'll say it again, Jesus was, is, and always will be the answer for every human need. So I want to repeat that. Verse 15. "That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in this world." Wow. See, it's God that's working in us. God's working in us. And see, men will see it, and of course, they will give glory to our Father in heaven. Hallelujah. And I want to have a look at that 2:15 in the New Living Translation. And it says this: "So that no one can criticize you, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. He wants us to shine. But of course, we can't shine if we're saying what the world's saying. We can't shine if we're acting like the world's acting. We can't shine if we're embracing the fear that's in the world today. And we're saying what the world's saying. We can't shine with that. But we can shine when we take the word of God and we declare it over any situation and we call things that are not as though they are. And we, you know, when people are speaking about negativity and fear and doubt and unbelief, we can turn that around by injecting that narrative with truth. With truth. Remember, their eyes were blinded because the veil covered the truth. But there's no longer a veil. We have the light of the glory on the inside. We have the word of God. And of course, the word is light. Hallelujah. So, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. Quickly go there for a moment. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It says this, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. That's our path. Now, what allows us to stay on that path? Well, Psalm chapter 119 gives us a very clear answer there. Go with me to Psalm 119. Verses 105 and 130. Familiar scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 105 says this, your word is a lamp under my feet and a light to my path. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say, I've sworn and I will perform it and I will keep your righteous judgment. So the word is a searchlight. It's a searchlight. We have that lamp or that candle, and it's a light to our path, because we just read that the path of the just light that for a morn to a perfect day. But can I tell you now, if you haven't got the word, you haven't got the light. If you haven't got the word, it's not shining the pathway of righteousness for you. You've got to stay in the word of God, particularly in this hour, to be walking on the well-lit path of righteousness. Because the word of God will do that for us. And then look at verse 130. The entrance of your word gives light. In other words, it sets on fire. It's a fire on the inside. That's what that means, literally. Entrance of his word gives light. It gives understanding to the... See, light not only exposes darkness, but it also shows a way out. The lights that's coming from Christians can have the same impact on the unsaved. It reveals their shortcomings and sins, but also shows the way out, the way to Jesus Christ. You may be the only representative of Jesus in your sphere of influence, so let your light shine today. Hallelujah. Okay, Peter, chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, hallelujah, thank you Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3, and I want to read from verse 15. And Peter said this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks your reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And that word fear, correctly translated, is reverence. With meekness or with humility and with reverence. That's the way we should respond to people, with a gentleness and a reverence. Well, can I ask this question? If someone was to ask you a question today about the state of the world, have you got an answer? Do you have an answer for them? Do you have a comment assurance that your God is able? Do you believe that you're in covenant with a God that cannot lie, that cannot break his covenant, a God that will protect you and keep you safe and sound, a God that will provide for you no matter what the circumstances are that surround you? Because if you don't believe that, you will never offer that as a solution to someone who asks. But if you believe in your God, if you trust your God, if you know that your God is able, and he is, then you will be ready to give an answer to everyone that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with humility and with reverence. With humility and with reverence. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that we cannot see. If we've got hope, it's because we have faith. If we've got faith, we've got hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we thank the Lord for his goodness. So go with me to John. I'm going to bring this to a conclusion this morning. John 15. From verse 5, Jesus speaking to his disciples. And all this was in preparation for Jesus to go to Calvary's cross. All these chapters, John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, all the preparation. Jesus speaking these words before he went to the cross. John chapter 15 verse 5 says this: I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Remember I said at the beginning of this message this morning that the light's reflected in the words and the actions and the deeds and the behavior of the believer. It's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit that he's talking about is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Without him, we can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast it into a fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and, look at that, and my word abides in you. Remember, the word's a lamp. It's a light to our path. The entrance of the word gives light. So if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done for you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. See, we're going to be light bearers, then we're going to be fruit bearers. If our light's going to shine, our fruit's going to come forth for the world to see. Why? Because we need to reflect the glory of God through the light that is resident on the inside of us. Hallelujah. And 1 John, at the back of the Bible, 1 John, chapter 1. And I want to read from verse 6 to verse 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. Hallelujah. We walk in the light as he is in the light. That's the way we go. See, Peter became a light bearer. He denied Jesus in the weakness of his flesh. But that all changed when he was born again in spirit. And if you study out Acts chapter 2, Peter preached, and as a result, 3,000 souls were saved. This Peter, who denied Jesus, became a great apostle of faith and a recognized leader in the early church. Wow. So let's have a look at a final scripture this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, reading from verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And actually I want to read this from the New Living Translation. the New Living Translation, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. We keep reading verse 10. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, but now you have received God's mercy. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. What Peter was saying was, let your light shine. Let your light shine in this dark, corrupt, and perverse world. So, as we reflect this morning on Resurrection Sunday, I want to finally repeat that scripture that I started with this morning in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We now have this light in earthen vessels. It's the light of the glory of God, and we need to show it forth in a world that so desperately needs it. Amen.